Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
657 AM, Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. We get straight into the Word of God, courtesy of Pastor Thabang Mofokeng, right here on Radio Pulpit. Morodi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Austin Poe, and good afternoon to listeners of Heart to Heart.
Are you well?
We're doing great, Aislina.
Repeatedly, Morodi, we cannot complain. Thank you so much for making time this wonderful, wonderful afternoon. What do you have for us today?
Well, I would say I want to revisit a topic that we once threshed on this platform, and that is of discipline. I'm just trying to link up, because the last time we spoke, which is about 2 or so weeks ago, I was speaking about discipleship. So I'm sometimes fascinated by interrelationship between words, discipline, discipleship. They share a lot. Just by looking at the words, they share a lot. For us to be disciples, indeed, discipline is at the very core of it. Just in the heart of it. So we're talking about that, and specifically discipline as a remedy, an antidote to immorality and irreligion. So that's what we're addressing.
Lovely. Let's get straight into it.
All right. That's simple. I think as Christians, even as it is granted that we are sinners saved by grace, but that we are sinners, that fundamentally, in ourselves, by ourselves, we are plain sinners. That salvation to us is a gift that God has given, for which we remain grateful, we remain thankful to God for that. There is something sometimes when we talk about that we sometimes ignore, or rather intentionally choose to skip over. And that is the task that remains with us. And that task is the task of character development, the task of us conducting ourselves in ways increasingly over time that are pleasing to the Lord. In other words, fulfilling one of the imperatives in Scripture, be ye holy, for the Lord is holy. That. In other words, sinners saved by grace, daily improving in character, in conduct, towards the fullness of that which we are in God. We're not doing that, of course, to earn favors with God. Our salvation has been secured through Christ, a gift. But there is this thing that we owe the Lord and we owe each other for an improved life experience, an improved life, rather relationships, improved society. And that is an improvement in our conduct, an improvement in our moral character. So that is an important thing. And we do it better when we are freed from the guilt that comes with the failure, the moral failure that we carry in ourselves, when we're not bulldozed by our past. Rather, we're living lives of gratefulness, of thankfulness, because the Lord has indeed redeemed us. We are children of God, and we no longer caught up in that situation of wrath and punishment in that situation. Rather, we are being called upon to become better people, not again, I must emphasize, not again, as an attempt to be acceptable to God, because we are accepted before God by faith in the Lord, and that's an act of grace that the Lord gives us, so saved by grace. So discipline, a remedy to immorality and irreligion. Immorality, I'm not going to go on about immorality. It's just simply a situation of, you know, moral breakdown, and I think many of us can attest to that in our daily lives and the world that we live in, that we could do with some moral regeneration. There was a time in South Africa where that was a big issue, the issue of moral regeneration. There was an office dedicated in government, an office dedicated to that very specific issue, recognizing an important issue, that is that you can do all the many things that we want done in this country, but that if all these things are not accompanied by a change in people's behavior, a change in people's attitude, a change in people's approaches to life, that if all the other things we want will fall flat because, you know, they find us the same people with all the kinds of compromises and all kinds of breakdowns within ourselves. So So there was once such an issue, such an offense of a moral regeneration, which I think is, in a sense, has been abandoned. Nobody talks about that anymore, and the Church of Jesus Christ remains, whether there be an office in government or not, whether anybody is interested in it or not. But the Church of Jesus Christ cannot abandon the project of moral regeneration, firstly, of every member of church, every member of the body of Christ, and, of course, beyond the members of the body of Christ, of society itself, moral regeneration. So being called upon to fight against immorality and irreligion. And of course, with the word irreligion, it's a negation of the term religion, which I've heard other people say, no, we as Christians are not into religion. We are rather in a relationship. I remain a bit dumb about this thing. So I suppose the people who talk about Christianity as a relationship and not a religion, what they are rejecting is the issue of forms of rituals that are found in churches, and which often it would appear that people can be able to go through these forms and people are able to go through these rituals whilst at the same time completely not aware of Christ's claims on self and the obligations that arise out of that of the consciousness of Christ. And so if that's what by religion people mean, I think I see the point. Religion being the forms, the rituals that are there. On the other hand, I also maintain that I think Christianity is not simply just a relationship. I think this relationship that we have with God, like many other relationships, is not just a matter of the internals of ourselves. It's not a matter of the attitude. It's not a matter of, you know, the subjective issues. There are forms to it. There is a way of expression that is found to be acceptable to God, such that the two cannot really exactly 100% be divorced from each other. Religion and relationship cannot necessarily, should not, maybe I should put it that way, should not be put separated from one another. There's a way in which the relationship needs to be expressed, and in the expression of that relationship, one can be able to pass a vote of you know, rather a word of acceptance to say this expression is what should be, or this expression of this relationship is a problem. So irreligion is a negative of religion in that case. It is whatever forms that are there, whatever rituals, if you want to talk about rituals, that are found within the Christian church, that are part of the Christian life. Irreligion would be living a life that is against all such forms. And we need to be in agreement at some point that indeed there are things that are not only surprising, but they are baffling to us because they so go against everything we expect. And there was a time that I'm sure we can remember this. There was a time on the media we saw Holy Communion conducted in some specific church somewhere in this country with a pig's head. Now, it's a form. We know what it means. Holy Communion, we know what it means. We know the purpose of it. The Lord instructed that the church that to observe this. And we observe this, and there's a way in which we observe it. And, of course, across the different churches, there are slight differences in terms of the elements at use and maybe sometimes formularies that we use about that. But for that specific church that conducted the Holy Communion using the pig's head at some point, it's revolting. It's a form of participation in some kind of a ritual that the Bible sets for us. But there's something revolting in conducting it that way because it goes counter everything that we know as far as that specific ceremony is concerned, as far as that specific act of worship is concerned. So forms are important still without negating relationship, you know, the in things kind of without respect, without in any way looking down on that. So we're speaking about discipline as an antidote, a remedy to immorality and religion. And I'm looking at Hebrews chapter 12 from verse 5 to 11. Of course, you can read up until verse 17 forming, you know, a coherent passage in that way. But But within verses 5 and 11, there is a word that repeats itself so many times. And of course, it is not immediately easy to pick in English. You can, or in other languages, you can. When you go into the Greek, you are able to immediately see the root word repeating itself so many times within just verses 5 to 11. About 8 times this word appears, and this word is paideia, which is at the root of what is translated in various English versions of the Bible, translated as discipline, translated as correction, translated as chastening, translated as punishment, translated as instruction. So there are all these many other English words that are used to express this word, which the root of is paideia, within Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 to 11. And it is the word that, for me, I have picked up the word discipline to speak about that, and then I will explain what is this. Now, the root word, this root word paideia, speaks to, in Sesotho, kwetliso, le thuto e tobile maitshwaro le kelello ya bana, ka o kgalema, holaya, or holaela, le kotlo. In other words, it's about training. It is about raising up. It is about instruction, giving instruction that an instruction that targets the behavior and the mind, a way of forming children to become this ideal citizen in the world in which this word was used back in the day. That's what it was understood to mean. It meant an instruction, a training, an education that is meant to improve a person and make an ideal member of society out of this person. So quickly, so lituto eto dile maitshwaro le kelello ya bana ka o kgalema o laela moho le kotlo. So that, and that is the way that I'm translating in this instance and using as discipline. And there are a few things that come out of this text that are, I think, of great interest. Repeated several times, this word, idea, repeated several times, because I think the author has an interest that the audience understands that as children of God, we stand indeed in a child-parent relationship with God, as we will see, that we are children of God, and that God is a parent to us with the rights of a parent unto the children in that way, expressed through this concept of discipline or paideia in that sense. So we noticed several things that are important that I want to bring out here. One of them is the passage assumes the parenthood of God. When we look at the passage, it assumes the parenthood of God, that God is our parent. Verse 5, we learn that discipline belongs to the Lord. It is a prerogative of Motswadi, a parent, to discipline the children. So discipline belongs to the Lord. We further see verse 7 of Hebrews chapter 12, that God is portrayed there as a father, of course, a parent. God is portrayed as a father. And verse 6, a father who loves his children. A father who loves his children. Again, verse 6, who acknowledges his children. It is for that reason that in verse 8, a child who is not being disciplined when others are being disciplined then comes out as an illegitimate child. In other words, an illegitimate child, the word that is used depending on the version of the English Bible you read, is a bastard. An illegitimate child, a child who does not legitimately belong to the parent concerned, then is ignored when others are being disciplined. And this is what is being expressed in verse 8. A child not being disciplined when others are being disciplined, an illegitimate child. So God, our Father, to him belongs discipline, and he's our Father who loves his children, who acknowledges his children, verse 6, 7, who disciplines his children. God is he's a disciplinarian, if you like. God disciplines. And of course, this is not the whole issue that God is a disciplinarian in that sense. I don't think that we are comfortable with it, particularly now in the kind of culture that generally we find ourselves in, where there is a breakdown of discipline across the board. One of the challenges of church and Christian life is the ease with which people do as they see fit. It is the ease with which people move between places and churches, sometimes as a way of avoiding discipline. You know, how easy it is for people to do that. And it is in the way sometimes it becomes easy for some of Christian leaders to welcome people who are running away from discipline and not inquire as to the condition of the person living where, to the place, in order to find out what needs to be done, what needs to be, you know, what kind of intervention may be necessary in the person's life. So we are living in times when discipline is very lax, and as a result, we live a life of personal convenience, for we would not allow anybody to inconvenience us with discipline. However, we learn in the passage that God is our parent, he's our father, who loves his children, who acknowledges his children, and therefore disciplines his children. And therefore, verse 6, God's discipline is not in any way against his love and his acceptance. That God disciplines his own is not to suggest that God does not love nor accept his own. It is actually an act of the very love of God, the act of the very acceptance of God that he disciplines. Hence, that statement that he whom God does not discipline is illegitimate as far as God is concerned. We further observe that God expects that we subject ourselves to his discipline. Verse 9. God expects that we subject ourselves to his discipline. Why that? Because, of course, we can always just choose to be unruly. We can choose to walk away and therefore live a life of ill discipline. But God expects that we subject ourselves to his discipline. Verse 10, we notice God's intention with this discipline is to benefit us. So God has good plans for our lives. God wants us to benefit from him being our parent, our father. And for that to work, amongst many other things that are to happen to our lives, the issue of discipline is there too. God's intention with discipline is to benefit us. We further notice that discipline helps us share in God's holiness, that without discipline, we will struggle to share, to partake in God's holiness. The distinction that God is, the difference with which God is, and how with which God does whatever God does in the world, that we would find it rather hard for us to join in the distinction of God in the way God is, in the way God does things on earth, we'll find it very hard. Rather, discipline works to bring us into that realm of God's holiness. We further observe in verse 11 that the discipline results in peaceful fruit of righteousness. That it does result in a peaceful fruit of righteousness. In other words, there is quietness of soul when one has undergone and is a person who is given to the discipline of God and who receives the discipline of God. That person becomes a quiet soul, not a restless one. That person lives a life not of panic, but of understanding what God is about and what God is doing, and of patience, endurance of things that are taking place all around, knowing that God is working his ways through our lives and through whatever else that we are part of as we go through life. So discipline results in peaceful fruit of righteousness. We notice that in verse 11. All discipline, of course, is acknowledged in verse 11 to be painful. It's acknowledged to be painful when it happens. So it is one of those comforting things to know again that in Scripture it is acknowledged that although necessary, although an expression of God's love and acceptance, discipline is nevertheless painful. And it is when we have decided that we are done with pain, that we will then walk away from discipline precisely because it is painful. But when we are more in love with God and are sold out to what God is about in our world today and our role in what God is all about in our world today, we endure, we take in the pain of discipline, knowing the fruit thereof, looking forward to the fruit thereof. Being disciplined because it brings out a beautiful fruit when it carried its course through. There are responses as important to God's discipline. Rather, there are responses. There is an inappropriate response to God's discipline. I've already alluded to that, where we may just bail out, just walk away, not want to take it, just not want to subject ourselves to God's discipline, forget the benefits thereof. We will rather forfeit that benefit because we don't want to be dealing with pain. It's an inappropriate response to God's discipline. What is mentioned in verse 5 it is taking God's discipline lightly. In other words, considering God to be, you know, like wadlala, sometimes we would say in Kenneth, Mudimu wababala, if you are a discipline, I mean, he's not going to be doing this. I mean, not in this time, not with me. I'm not going to take it. No, this cannot be it. So taking God's discipline lightly is an inappropriate response to God's discipline. Further, becoming discouraged on account of God's discipline. In other words, taking it seriously, but to another extreme where God's discipline discourages us, where we do not derive the peaceful fruit of righteousness, where we do not become better because we are under discipline, rather we break, we become discouraged. You know, that is an inappropriate response to God's discipline. Of course, if you have an inappropriate response to God's discipline, then you also have an appropriate response. In Scripture, verse 7, endurance, I've already alluded to that word before, endurance, taking it in. If we may, taking it in like a man, taking it in like a woman, taking it in like a child of God who understands that God, in what he's doing, he's not exercising hatred, he's not being petty, that God loves and accepts us, that indeed in this very painful process that we could be going through, that I could be going through as a person, that it nevertheless is an expression of my Father's love. That I belong to God, I am loved and accepted to God, and therefore I will endure. God, give me grace to go through this so that indeed I can attain to the peaceful fruit of righteousness, so that I can see the results of the process that I'm going through, the process of discipline. It is for discipline that you have to endure, the writer says, verse 7. Without the willingness to exercise endurance, as important, we remain unfit as the beloved children of God, whose presence and activity stems the tide of moral decay. In other words, if we are not going to endure, if we are not going to take it in as, you know, we go through life, whatever God is doing, whatever is not talking to us immediately, and whatever is not sitting with us very well immediately, rather looking at it and saying, God is at work, God is doing his thing, and we are, I'm going to be here until what God is doing is finished, so that I can be that person that I must be. Unless we allow ourselves to go through that, then we are in no position, indeed, to stem the tide of moral decay. The nation that we are, the people of the world in which we live, are people to whom pleasure is foremost, are people to whom self-satisfaction is foremost. And because of that, there is a tendency in today's life to avoid any source of pain and to pursue with everything we have anything that promises pleasure and more pleasure and more pleasure to us. But it is that exactly, precisely because of that, that we are experiencing moral decay, that we are experiencing the social breakdown, that we're experiencing the kind of breakdown, relational breakdown, spiritual breakdown, all kinds of breakdowns that we are witnessing. We are going through this, we are witnessing these things because for some reason we are now living in a culture that prizes softness, that prizes pleasure, that prizes, you know, convenience, that does not want to be inconvenienced in any way, that would not want to be part of any disciplining kind of an environment. And therefore, it is in that kind of culture where if we sell out to that kind of culture, if we allow that culture to live in and through us, that it becomes difficult for us to indeed be seen and known and experienced as the disciples of Christ, disciplined by Christ. But when we choose to be holy, to be different, to present ourselves as different because we are inspired by a different spirit, spirit not of this world but of God, and we allow the Lord to do his thing in and through us in this world, and however that inconveniences us, however that visits pain on us, we're looking forward to the fruit at the end of it all. When we do that, we find that we are then agents. We find that we are ambassadors. We find that indeed our presence, our role in the world is that which challenges the kind of moral decay and irreligion that is encompassing us. We find that we stand as a rebuke in a sense, again, a way of disciplining the world by being present as people who are different to the world, although emerging from this world, but allowing the Lord to make his way, to have his way through us and in us, makes us a presence that calls the world from the decadence, from the breakdown that the world is in, to show the world that something better is here, can be here, is available, can be experienced, but we have to allow ourselves then to be disciplined by God. And when God disciplines us, may God help us not to forget. It is not an act of hatred. It's an act of love and acceptance. We are accepted in the Beloved. We are loved, greatly loved by God. And may God grant us the endurance as he works his way in and through us, so that indeed we stand as beacons of light and pillars of moral strength to a otherwise dying nation, morally and otherwise.
Thank you so much appreciated. Who Baba Tlang to get in touch with you? How do we do that?
My ex handle is at Tabang RM, and my email address trmofugeng@gmail.com.
Lovely. Thank you, Murudi. Appreciate it.
We are here 24 hours a day with the message of hope, faith, and love on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729, and our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you. Do you read the Word for Today daily devotionals? We wish to ensure that your copy reaches you on time. You can now receive the booklet directly at an address of your choice or via email if you prefer. It's easy. Visit radiopulpit.co.za, select your choice, and update your details. Or SMS the word devotional to 37871. You will receive a reply SMS with the options. Alternatively, contact client services on 012-334-1257. Standard rates apply.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.